was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor, while the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings as the night folds in. On a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Radio broadcast on RBN Network. I'm your host for this evening, Lori Anderson, and joined with me right now is Lori, also known as Texas 101, Tom. Tom's lady, and she has come to give us some updates about Tom. Now, for the new listeners who may not know who Tom is actually the host of this show, and he was picked up just like he had been covering the Oregon standoff as well as the Bundy standoff in Nevada, or I should say the Oregon protest, and then also a couple of years ago the Bundy standoff in Nevada, because the BLM was raising weapons towards unarmed men, women, and children and attacking them. So he went and handled media coverage there as well. Well, on December the 6th, Tom LaCavera Stewart was picked up by the feds, and he was being charged and is still currently under from out of Oregon on an incident that allegedly it happened on January 23rd of 2016. They're allegedly trying to charge him with 18 USC 922 G1, which we're not even going to get into the legalities of that right this second. But what that is felon in possession of a firearm. Now, mind you, all the way back in January of 2016, it was the state police that was there, and apparently Tom was such a threat that they did not handcuff him. They did not take him in. It was basically like a citation situation to where we'll see where things go in the future. So months and months and months, approximately 9 months later, the federal jurisdiction, the feds, they picked up and charged him with felon in possession of a firearm. Now, this was dated on September the 21st of 2016. So that right there shows you that they saw him as such a threat that they waited 9 months to get anything done. On top of that, from September the 21st, 2016, another 2 months goes by before the warrant was actually issued, or I should say the indictment, which really needs to be challenged because the sufficiency of the indictment, it doesn't even appear to be a legitimate indictment, and I'm just telling you that because I have the paperwork in front of me. Anyway, they picked him up on December the 6th of 2016. Now, when they picked him up on December the 6th of 2016, he was picked up in New Jersey. He went to a New Jersey court, yet this was supposed to be an Oregon issue. And so when he went to the New Jersey court, Lori had thought that he would be held in New Jersey until he could be transported to Oregon, where the charges arose out of. Well, surprise, surprise, that didn't happen. She had found out that he was transferred to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, a federal detention center there, which he was not allowed to get his medications for his Lyme disease. So from that time, he was moved and he was en route, and we had reported that he had been taken to Nevada. He was actually in the same location as Ammon Bundy, which really turned out to be a blessing. So we didn't know why. We didn't know if there was any kind of alternate reason as to why he was taken to Nevada instead of taken to Oregon, because it didn't make sense to us. However, Lori has some new information that she found out, so we want to share this with you. We found out that apparently this is part of the normal route, and this was not any nefarious reason putting him in Nevada. It was just kind of on the way and in the route, and that's where they held him until they got him to the next stop of going to Oregon. So with that being said, I'm not going to spoil anything else. I just gave you a little bit of the quick history on it so that Lori can give us an update, because we have many people who are political prisoners right now, and Tom is definitely one of them, and they want to silence the media, and they want to try to strengthen, of course, antique MSM. Hi, Lori. How are you doing this evening?
Better. Much better.
I am so thankful and glad to hear that. So what is going on now? What new have we found out about Tom, his location, and all the such?
He is in the Multnomah. It's spelled Multnomah County, get this, District Jail. When I went on the website to find out if he was there for the inmate custody information, I did find him. He is not listed under the Federal Bureau of Prisons, but he is listed under the county prisoners, but he is not formally charged with anything. And they've given him a new inmate number, and for some reason I can't pull it up right now. I did have it on the phone for everybody. But if you go into the it's the custody information for Multnomah County District. You can put in his name, and you can find out on the county part of it. There's four different ways you can look up a kidnapped inmate, and you can find out where they are, and he has a new prisoner number. There are no charges. There is no – they booked him, but no charges. There's no court dates pending yet, so I know that. I do have his new ID number. It's 801727. They booked him 12816, which is today, with no charges. He did give me an address that people could write to him. I do not have a zip code.
Okay.
So hopefully, if you look it up, you can find the zip code. I did not have time to do that. But it's at 1120 Southwest 3rd Street in Portland, Oregon. And I do not have a zip. And that address again is 1120 Southwest 3rd Street in Portland. That's the Multnomah County Jail, Multnomah. And his number is 801727 if you want to write to him. He did say he's bored. He would like to read if he can, and if you'd like to send letters, that would be awesome. And I apologize to everybody for holding back a lot of information. This is a money-making system, uh-huh. And I've lost about $20 on phone calls because you have to pay for them and then hope that they're there so that they can use them. So I very sparingly have put money on the account to not play the government's game of taking money. If he is staying there, then I will put money on his commentary or a sweatshirt or something like that. But we've both been holding back on anything until we know where he's going to be for a while. This is just one of the things, advice to anybody that has to go through this in the future. They will move people around and take your money. And I've had people give us donations. I'm not going to waste that money. People work too hard for it. So we did lose $20, and I apologize. It was not knowing if they were going to move him. And the calls now are, I believe, $14.95 for 3 or 4 minutes. And I am going to call the Bundys. They do have another way that's a lot cheaper to talk to them. So first call was expensive, and then we're going to try to find a cheaper way to do that. Now we can start the legal work. And I'm going to need some legs on the ground. So if anybody's out there in Oregon, I need you. I need legs on the ground. I'm still stuck in New Jersey. I'm going to be stuck for another 2 or 3 weeks to before I can get anywhere near there. And working on that right now, trying to get things going on my own as much as possible. And I've got some good people helping keep safe, because there are knuckleheads out there that do some nefarious things that I'm trying to avoid and trying to avoid their...
Wife, are you there?
Who's that? Anyway, I'm trying to avoid their knuckleheaded nonsense.
Right. Absolutely.
As far as Tom's spirits, he was able to see Cliven and Ammon. They were able to talk. They were able to see that everything...
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. They were able to see that everything that he was telling them from his research... from the Bundy Ranch and in Oregon, where they basically didn't want him giving them the information, and they basically were pushing him away, that he was right. And all fences have been mended, because everything's coming out that he had learned and was reporting on to them and to everyone else. So I'm not sure what that was. I don't ask, because I wasn't in Oregon, and the less I know, the better off I am.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
I know today, or I think it was last Thursday, Carol Bundy just put out also something that needs to go out. They declared where the standoff was at the Bundy Ranch a national monument. So they are trying to take their crazy plan. I know. Harry Reid got to that.
Yeah, of course. That's the only other backdoor way they can do it, is that national monument thing. So they can turn it under UNODA, and I mean, not UNODA, excuse me, the protected lands from the UN, blahzy blahzy. They do that all the time. World Heritage Sites, that's what I was trying to think of. That's, yeah, no surprise there.
They also did another one in Utah, claiming they were all Indian lands and that they were going to save these for the Indians. And as an ancestor of the Indians, I'm going to tell you right now, that's what the reservations are for, and that's for our people to fight. And if we can't stand up for ourselves, we're going to end up just like the other half of me, the Americans, did. So this is a unique opportunity for people right now to, you know, I told somebody today, We can talk the talk all day long, but now it's time for us to walk the walk.
Yep.
Who's there with us? We're settled down now in Oregon. Going to need some help. Get a game plan together. If we fight it, we fight it. If we don't, we don't. But it's going to take all of us to do this.
Yes,
and one of the realities, you know, I woke up as a mom. Just a mom. I read the healthcare bill, got scared, went to a Tea Party meeting, got called a terrorist by Miss Obama. You know,
yeah.
Got really, really educated, as some of you have heard me on other shows. I do know what's going on. I may not be perfect. None of us are. But this is time for us to walk the walk. And if we're going to do what we say and prove what we say, this is the time. This is what we've all been studying for, what we've been researching for, what we do. Are we going to sit down and take it, or are we going to go out there and prove it to other people to plow that path? A lot of people have tried, but we have the most informed, knowledgeable, strongest people as our listeners. What are we going to do, and how are we going to get this done? Because one person cannot do this alone. Two people cannot do this alone. It's going to take a village. Let me put it back. Let's use their words against them. So if it takes a village to raise this up, where are we? A lot of good people have a lot of knowledge, a lot of connections. Like I said, I need people on the ground to help me file some paperwork. If you're brave enough, you want to do this, let's go in a peaceful, honorable way. I don't want to work with anybody that's got a knuckleheaded idea that they're going to go in and tear somebody up. That's not how things should be done. We all woke up and we were all on one side or the other of this. Some people have made a conscientious decision.
We have to hold ourselves to a higher standard.
Absolutely.
You know, we're not them, and we're not going to bow down to the way that they are. We refuse to do that. And that is one of the reasons that we win so much when it comes to truth, is because we refuse to bow down to being that type of individual. And people see that. People
exactly.
See that.
The other thing.
Now, I do want to ask you, I need to ask you this. Is Tom, or do you know if Tom is receiving his medication yet?
No, he is not.
He is not. Okay, so everybody, I need you to understand something about this with Tom. He has been in their custody since December the 6th.
Over three
that
weeks.
That is 22 days. Now, with that being said, he is supposed to have his Lyme disease medication 2 times a day. He has yet to be given his medication. Now, Lori, while you were discussing, I found out some information, so I'm going to put this out there. I am not even going to chop up this name. No, I will chop up this name. Okay. It is Multnomah County Detention Center is where Tom is at. It is 1120 Southwest 3rd Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97204. Please send him some letters. He could use something to read. For call-in blitzes, request to know why he is there. If there is no charges being showed, we need to know why he is there. And Eric and I will get into that in a little bit. The phone number for that, please get pens and pencils ready. 503-988-3051. That is the detention center's phone number. Now, we also have the sheriff's office, if you will give me 1 second. The sheriff's office number is 503-988-3714. The sheriff is the top law enforcement in that county. That is where we will be sending copies, not only to the sheriff, but to other entities of some habeases for Tom. We will be getting that stuff together as well. We need to contact the sheriff, find out why Tom is not receiving his medication. It is medical neglect. He is legally disabled. Tom's ID number is 801-727. And as always, if you can help, even if it is only $1, please help Lori and Tom. Phone calls cost money. Clothes cost money. Food costs money. Traveling for Lori to be able to get where she needs to go to be there for Tom costs money. And you can donate through PayPal to tomlacavera@gmail.com is the PayPal, or you can go to www.resurrecttherepublic.com, click on the PayPal link, and that will get us. This appreciate every dime and every bit of support. but they really need your support right now. And if there is any constitutional attorneys out there that are allowed to be in front of the de facto bench and have a bar card, please, if you are interested in taking on a pro bono case that you could really, you could tear apart and you could win it if your heart is in it. And we would gladly welcome you to help with that as well. You can contact Lori. What email would be preferable for them to contact you on that end of it?
They can contact me at the rtrtruthmedia@gmail.com. I have access to all of
those
accounts. Okay. So I can see that as well. And I've been able to try to keep up with that as much as I can. I apologize to anybody that's trying to get a hold of us. And I now have internet access limited on this phone, but I have a little bit of internet right now and getting a little bit back settled for a while until I start going on the move again. But I can answer that right now. I can answer those emails right now. And, you know, it's up to all of us. I mean, are we going to – here's the thing I was sitting thinking about the other day. You know, we were talking about FEMA camps, and people were really, you know, laughing at us and saying, oh, that's not true. The word detention center is your FEMA camp. Mm-hmm. When I was asleep, I worked for Halliburton during the Iraq War. I was a recruiter. I helped pull over those truck drivers that were getting blown up. It's not something I'm proud of. I didn't know what I was doing, and I had friends that actually worked for Halliburton, recruited to build those FEMA camps. That's what they are. So you have men in FEMA camps, and people are out there mouthing off saying, oh, well, I'm not going to let anybody go to those FEMA camps. Let me tell you something, buddy. They already are. You tell you you're not going to have the UN on the soil. Those UN soldiers came in blue suits. They're sitting in your regional centers, districts. Those are not part of a republic.
Locals as well. Yep.
Right. You know, when you hear the word regional, when you hear the word district, this is not your county. Your county. It is not under the republic. It is not part of the constitutional form of government. So if you want to fight with your for your republic and keep it, what are we going to peacefully do while we can?
Right.
And that's the key thing that people really need to sit down and think about. And it doesn't have to be for Tom. It can be somewhere local. Just start waking up, people. Start doing something, because those of us that have been doing things for years, they're picking up now. They're popping us off one by one.
Oh, yeah.
But behind us, it's worth it. I miss Tom with all my heart, but I'm going to tell you right now, it's worth it. Because behind me, where I was in my city with the school board, there's at least 40 standing in the place where I left. Just think of how many of you guys can be standing while Tom's in jail.
Right.
How many of you guys did he wake up that can go and do something somewhere if you can't help him with what's going on right now? But don't make our efforts worth nothing, because I'm telling you, it's not easy. It's tough, but you can look at, you know, where I'm at right now. They've got three small children, and I look at them every day and smile going, they have some semblance of a chance if we keep going. Don't stop. Keep going peacefully. Hold your honor. Hold your respect. When you get angry, go sit down and get yourself in check. And keep going.
And you know, Bible even says, be angry and sin not.
Right.
So it's okay to be angry.
Yeah.
You just have to be angry in a godly manner. Right? And a lot of people forget that.
Go put it in check. Then get your head where you can think straight. It's taken me a couple of weeks to get my life leveled up where I can think. It's taken a couple of weeks for him to get Thomas where he's at. That in itself is a miracle to me. That's how I'm looking at it. Now things are straightened out where actions can be taken in a honorable way. And now it's time for us all to stand up. And while we're doing this, some people won't like moves. Some people won't like what's going on. Some people won't understand. There's going to be a lot of rumors. There's going to be a lot of confusion. Mm-hmm. That's what happens when a lot of people work together. Hold yourself together. Ask the questions. Don't get angry. Sometimes things have to play through. And pull it together, because the only way we're going to pull ourselves together and pull our country out of this is to stop the bickering, stop the bad-mouthing, stop saying, I would have done it a different way. Decisions have to be made by Tom. And I have to make them out here, just like I made the decision not to give a lot of information out to waste everybody's money. That's not something that was going to happen. The government was not going to play every one of us. And if I had a say in it, that's what happened. They thought I was going to go on what somebody called a diesel exercise of running all over the country. No.
No. Right. Well, let me tell you something you may or may not know, Lori, because I know you just gained internet access. All right, everybody. I pulled up the address, and I'm on Street View right now looking at the address of the location of where Tom is at, and I know you're going to be shocked at this, Lori, but it appears, and I say it appears because it looks like the same exact location and building of where, drum roll, the seven were acquitted.
Yes, it is. And one of the things that I was prepared for, and I do want to get this out, I was prepared for this is the place where they were beaten up and treated badly. Mm-hmm. And what I have to say is, anybody out there listening to us that's on the side of the Fed and the officials, lay a hand on him. Try it. You have a living man there. Living man. Mm-hmm. Not one of your persons. And you know exactly what I'm saying. It says, touch not that which is of the Creator. Don't do it. You've been respectful, and it's been honorable all the way through, and everybody's behaved. This place better do the same, because they are not the Federal Bureau of Prisons. It is county. It is a totally different jurisdiction from what the judge ordered him to go to. Something is wrong, and we've not made a stink. We've done this respectfully, and I expect the same from them. And I've told Tom, keep it respectful. If they start acting up, stay calm, breathe, and go forward. They better knock it off.
Yeah. And so I did want to let you know that, because I didn't know if you knew that. So everybody, this is the same building that was actually holding the Bundy brothers. And, oh my gosh, my brain just went.
All of them from the...
of them. And they were found not guilty. So we will be back right after a word from the network sponsors. Please hang in there with us. We have a lot we're chatting about tonight. Thank you. And we'll talk to you on the flip side. Hey, sit down. Don't be a
jerk. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NUMANA Republic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NUMANA Republic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Mother of the moon, which built my sails, rose the sea of
years. Welcome back, everyone, to Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Radio broadcast on RBN Network. I am your host, Lori Anderson, for this evening, and I am talking with Lori, known as Texas 101, Tom's lady. Tom Lacovera Stewart has been the topic of the first quarter of our show, and I want to get people to understand the severity of Tom not getting his medication, because each and every phone call does make a huge difference. And just because you think you're the only one calling, you're not. And when they receive hundreds and hundreds of phone calls, they realize there's going to be lots of attention. It puts pressure on them to do the right thing. Now, if you do decide to call, I want you to please remain firm but professional, because we hold the higher ground and we must continue to hold the higher ground. But I want to let you know the later signs and symptoms of non-treated Lyme disease, okay, are severe headaches and neck stiffness, additional EM rashes on other areas of the body, arthritis with severe joint pain and swelling, particularly in the knees and other large joints, facial palsy, which is loss of muscle tone, droop on one or both sides of the face, intermediate pain in the tendons, muscles, joints, and bones, heart palpitations, or otherwise known as an irregular heartbeat, episodes of dizziness and shortness of breath, inflammation of the brain and spinal cord, nerve pain, shooting pains, numbness or tingling in the hands or feet, and problems with short-term memory. All of this you can find on the CDC.gov website. So it is imperative that Tom get his medication. So before anything else, we really need people to be calling in and finding out, demanding to know why, but demand in a professional manner. Why is it he's not getting his medication and demand that he get his medication? The phone number for the Sheriff's Department is 503-988-3714. Tom's ID number is 801-727. We also have the we have the address and phone number of the jail. That is the Multnomah. If I mispronounced it, I apologize to anybody who's in Oregon County Detention Center. That number is 503-988-3051. Talk to supervisors. Find out why he's not receiving his medication for Lyme disease, that he is legally disabled, that these are the signs and symptoms. Look them up. It is medical neglect. They will be held accountable if they do not get him on his medications. That number again is 503-988-3051. Tom's ID, once again, is 801-727. Even if you cannot be there in person, you can do a lot by picking up that telephone. And we would greatly appreciate if you would do that. I'm sure Tom would appreciate that. Tom would do it if it was for you, and we are asking that you do that for Tom as well. Lori, is there anything else that you would like to say to the listeners tonight?
Just thank you for everything that you do, even if it's making phone calls. Some people, you know, feel like that's all they can do. Some people just give us prayers. To those that go out and actually can do things, thank you. You know, this is, look at a child's eyes when you're walking down the street. That's what I do, and that's who you're saving. This may be for Tom right now that we're asking, but those kids grow up, and this is the only way we're going to give them a future. So just thank you. It's going to take, you know, years and years of this, but we can turn it around if we stand up and start doing something. Sitting down and not doing anything and just thinking about it, just listening to these programs, you got to be active in some way, shape, or form. And those that are, just thank you.
Absolutely. Well, Lori, I want to thank you for continuing to come on to the show and letting us know and keeping us updated as to everything that's going on with Tom. We understand too that there are times that you just can't share everything with the public as of yet. We know that. And individuals who don't realize it have honestly never been in a situation to where they were dealing with someone who was incarcerated, because you cannot blatantly bring out everything all the time, and there's a reason for that. So we just want Tom to know that if he calls, please let him know that we miss him. We can't wait for him to get back on the show. And we are definitely going to do our best to get some phone blitzes going on out there to get people reaching out. And people, if you could, even if you only by writing a letter to Tom, an uplifting letter to Tom, letting him know that you're there for him, even by just writing a letter, that's huge. That lets him realize that he is not alone. And the address that you would send to Thomas Robert Lacavera, ID number 801-727, and then you would address it 1120 Southwest 3rd Street, Portland, Oregon, 97204. I'm sure that he would love to hear from you. And I have a listener who says they want the numbers again, so let me give these numbers out one more time. The number to the detention center is 503-988-3051. The number to the sheriff's department is 503-988-3714. And Tom's new ID number, one more time, is 801-727. And we would also like to know if you do call, see if you can find out what they claim he is being charged with, because as of right now, as Lori has now informed us, there's no charges showing as to what he's being charged with. So we've got another mystery in the works here again, don't we, Lori?
That and a change of jurisdiction from federal to county, which is pretty odd. Totally two different jurisdictions. That's troubling that our peace officers, federal agents, whatever you want to call these people, allow. And our system of law does not allow for this. So something is not right. And changing a prisoner number, that is another thing. If you're in one system and you go to another, this is the game that they play. And I've talked to several people who have dealt with the prison systems. This is the game to play. And if we can put it out there for anybody going through this, or, you know, anybody that may go through it in the future, this is what they do. They will play the waiting game. They will move you around. They will mess with your money. They will do everything that they can. It's non-refundable in some places. So you can only limit what you're doing. These are the things that I was warned against, told how to manage this. Thank you, all of you that have done that for me, so that we don't waste anything, time, money, or any of our resources. And if I can get that on the air and help anybody that's going through it, it's not easy. But for me, I'm the Abominable Snowman. Remember that little cartoon? Put a smile on your face, sing a song, put one foot in front of another. Today's another day served, and we're going forward.
Well, I hope they realize that the clock hasn't stopped ticking, and Tom does have speedy trial rights. And the ones who are listening, because I know they're listening, I hope you realize that we do realize that as well.
Correct.
So, Lori, we have a caller on the line, and I believe the caller wants to ask you a question. Fred from Pennsylvania.
Sure.
Okay.
Hello, Fred.
Hi.
Hi.
I think, doesn't it say in the Constitution that a person has to be charged in the locale that he supposedly broke a law? And under those circumstances, Portland is not burned. Oregon.
Correct.
He's being charged under a statute of limitations. The feds have 5 years from when anything happens on a statute of limitations. So the feds are charging him, and they're only located out of D.C. That's what they had picked him up under. Now, the county that was on the indictment, I think, was Burns. And if y'all want him to go back to Burns, well...
I'm looking right now, Lori, while you're speaking. Go ahead.
Going back to Oregon and expecting that's going to be...
No, actually, it just said the District of Oregon. It didn't say what county.
Okay, she's back in the District of Oregon, which Oregon is not a district. Oregon is supposed to be a state. Again, a play on words. And what's a district? Because we don't have districts other than the District of Columbia. What is this district, and who are these people? Who are you? We're in a republic. This is what we were taught. This is the contract we have with these people. Did they write a contract behind my back, and who the heck are you? That's what I want to know right now. Who are you? What are you doing? And why have you invaded our country? Because we don't have districts in this republic, ever or regions. Who are you?
Right. And under the indictment, if anybody, and I know you all do not have it where you can see it, but I do have it in front of me. Lori provided it to me, and she can confirm that. The indictment itself does not even, it would fall on its face for sufficiency, for being an insufficient indictment. It doesn't even have a court stamp on it, for one. The grand jury four-person signature is blacked out. You don't even know if it's really a signature there. It looks like no real indictment that I've ever seen, because I have seen real indictments. And I can assure you, this looks like something somebody typed up on a computer, printed off, and claimed it as an indictment. So this does not look like a true bill, even though it looks like they're trying to pass it off as a true bill.
It's not even on letterhead.
No, it's not even on letterhead. It's just something anybody could type this off of any computer. Any computer. Heck, they could do it off of a tablet, the way that this is written.
Right.
It's just amazing.
Lori, if they won't accept our documents unless they're perfect and to the letter and to the T, I don't expect this one either. I don't accept it. It's not real. It's not lawful. So
Right. Why
do you have Thomas?
Right.
Is the judge incompetent? I mean, seriously, is the judge incompetent, and who is he? Because obviously he doesn't know how to do his paperwork, and if he's ever refused, if he's ever refused anyone's paperwork based on the style and way it was written, then how does he get away with this? This is not how to file a court document, and it wasn't filed.
So no, it wasn't.
Seriously wrong.
If it was filed, I'll tell you what, it surely, and I'll tell you something else that I found interesting, Lori, when I was going over the papers that you sent to me, was when it was showing the arrest warrant, okay? Well, the part of where it was returned, in other words, what date was it received on, the person was arrested on what date, you're going to have a date, you're going to have an arresting officer's signature, you're going to have a printed name and a title, that is required to be filled out. That is not even filled out on this.
Correct.
Mm.
So I find that also interesting. And you see it more and more with when you're dealing with the political prisoners, the way that they do things and the way that they shuffle things around, the way that they try to claim certain things, and then you read through it and you're like, are you really kidding me? Because they even said he was arrested and is in quote unquote federal custody in the District of New Jersey.
But when I was given the information for him for setting up phone calls and things, I was told the state was DC and the city was Federal Bureau of Prisons to send things to his commissary. So where is he? Who is he? What are they doing? You know, are we in the ether of the Matrix where you have so many of these little avatars, as Kendo says, that you're making money on all of this every time you put out a piece of paper? I mean, come on, people.
Mm-hmm. I have a question, please.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm right here. How can a person detained be booked but not formally charged, and also not given a date to have the preliminary hearing?
Because we have what is called the NDAA, which allows for indefinite detention of American citizens without charge or trial.
Okay, that has, the people have to know that. The listeners have to know that. This is a very unusual circumstance.
It's unlawful. And actually, it's not as unusual as you may think. It's been going on for years with our patriots. They've been doing this for years with different people who are, whether they're truth news in YouTube or whether it be on radio shows or whether it be individuals who stand up and protest peacefully It's been going on for a lot longer than you realize, I think, maybe. But the problem is they legitimized it in 2012 through the 2012 NDAA, which is the National Defense Authorization Act. People threw a fit. And the people in Congress said, oh, well, we didn't realize that, which, yeah, right, okay. So then they went along with the Feinstein Amendment to it because you can't do it without charge or trial. Well, that amendment passed. Allegedly, it was to make sure and ensure that you get a trial by jury, but it wasn't because it was an Article II, which is military tribunal. And eventually, Ted Cruz came out and explained why he originally voted for that amendment, and then he realized that he had been tricked, per se. My thing is this, is it's all unconstitutional, period. It's all unlawful, yes. But they get by with it because there is not enough people in numbers that realize it. And the real deal, the real way to defend our people all around the landmass of the United States of America is to make sure that everybody understands jury nullification. So they're going to sit on a grand jury, whether they're going to sit on a federal jury, whether they're going to sit on a local jury. It does not matter. If they understand, it is not only their right, but their duty to not only judge the case before them, but to judge the law that they are claiming, which is actually a code, not law, and to judge whether that is a lawful code in the first place, then we would actually have defense for everyone who sits in those courts. Now, I understand there's a huge difference between de jure and de facto. However, if we could get people to simply start finding the voter rolls, just like the politicians do when they want to send out all these things, vote for me, vote for me, vote for me, because this is how they pick jurors for federal and state and local. They go to the jury, they go to the voter rolls, the registration rolls. Get people to start getting those voter registration addresses and stuff. Start sending out mail that you can get information from FIJA.org. That means Fully Informed Jury Association. They literally have great things. You can print it off for free. You can mail it to the people who are registered voters, because whether they are your peers or not, they are the ones who are going to be chosen for these juries. So if we can get them educated, and it doesn't have to be about a specific case, just educate them. Are you aware that if you're picked for jury duty, this is what you need to know? And just send it to them. You don't have to know them. Start getting it out to the people and everybody. And if they would just have individuals do that in their individual counties, you know, or in your neighborhoods, how many more people are informed? How many more people would be protected? And this kind of thing, no matter how many times they picked anybody up, is the reality. If they understood this, we wouldn't have 2.5 million people sitting in private prisons today.
I want to say something about the constitutional requirement to have a defendant be informed of the nature and charges against him. And I don't think that when you have the National Military Authorization Act changes the quality of the way the judiciary works and their procedures, that's not telling the defendant and his family and friends and everybody else the nature the nature of the charges. I think the phrase is the nature
and cause.
Cause of the charges, and the fact that it's basically suspending judicial procedures, and you're supplanting that with military procedures.
Exactly. Yes, because basically what you have in the United States of America right now are military tribunals in almost every court. It's under admiralty law, which is basically known as military tribunals, or you can, another word for it is under color of law, law of the sea. You can look that up. A lot of people are like, oh, Lori, that color of law doesn't exist. Admiralty law doesn't exist. Look it up. Yes, it does. It's even in their code. If they violate it under color of law, 18 U.S. Code 241 and 242 will really wake some people's eyes up on that. So that's one of the things we fight. So how do we force that military tribunal, if you will, to abide by constitutional grounds is by having our juries educated and knowledgeable, and it's up to us to do that.
And what jurisdiction is actually the one that had if it's federal that had arrested him, then why are they bothering to put him in this kind of facility and almost de-emphasize the nature of the charges?
Mutual agreements. That's what they've done behind the scenes, is mutual agreements with county, city, mutual agreements. Even your school district does mutual agreements. I sat in the school district and watched them do mutual agreements with the Army, with the Coast Guard, with the federal government, with the hospital districts, with the jails for our students. Mutual agreements. When you go to a meeting and they start talking about these mutual aid agreements, that's what they're doing. They put it under the guise of, oh, if we have an emergency, this is what we're going to do. But they go in and do it, and they do it on a daily basis.
All right. Well, that's all I wanted to say, is that it seems like there is a tremendous amount of support for Tom, and there's a tremendous amount of grounds to get him released.
Oh yeah,
and maybe a writ could be filed at this point that he really hasn't been properly indicted.
Right, and now that we have an actually solid location of where he's at, instead of him being shuffled around like a piece on the chessboard, that's going to be upcoming really soon. And is there anything else that you would like to ask, Fred?
Well, see, I think the answer is to really use the judiciary as much as possible, to be active rather than just sit back and allow something to go forward that isn't legal.
Oh, absolutely, and that's what we do. Yep, got to be active and get there first. Absolutely. Okay. Well, we're getting ready to hear a word from the network sponsors, and then we will be right back. Eric Hughes Jones from Courtroom Observers will be joining us in our next topic. Thank you, and hold on for the next topic. It's going to be a wild ride.
This is Jimmy from Zipa. I want to talk to you about something that really bothers me. Snoring abuse. It's a real thing. You hear me? Abuse. And it's abuse that's been going untouched for far too long. Guess what? I'm going to touch it. I'm going to touch it like crazy. Wake it up and make it a known thing here. Snoring abuse is not a victimless crime. You go ahead and you snore, you're hurting others because you're taking away from their very important thing called sleep. People need their sleep so that they can function. You hear me? There's millions of people that are snoring night after night, and they're not doing anything about that. And if you're the one who's snoring, you better go to Zipa.com and get this fixed immediately. That's Z-Y-P-P-A-H.com. You need to stop snoring abuse now. What about your children? They're not getting any sleep because you're snoring? Unacceptable. Order now. Go to Zipa.com. That's ZYPPAH.com. That's Happy Z spelled.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.